So, I am a history buff. As many of you know, I love history. And I'm not sure why, because I hated it in school when I had to study it. But now that I get to study it, if I want to, I really love it. It's kind of human nature, I guess. But one of the things that's really interesting to me as I study history is all the hindsight that we get when we look back, right? Anybody ever look back at your own history and thought, if I had known then what I know now, I would have made some different choices. I would have stopped some things before they got out of hand, had I known. Am I the only one? No? All right, good. I'm not alone. But I was recently looking at World War II, and in World War II, it got out of hand. I mean, it got out of hand for sure. It was actually the deadliest military conflict in history that we know of. And it actually, an estimated total of 70 to 85 million people died in World War II. Those were 56 millions that were directly caused by the war, and then an additional 19 to 28 million caused by war-related disease and famine. Now, this is this is crazy. And then I had the thought, what if we had known what Hitler would have become, but what if we had known earlier that he would have impacted the world the way he did in such a horrible way? Could we have stopped him? But we didn't. And so Nazi forces, they started off here. And then what happened was they spread like a cancer because nobody did anything, affecting 11 countries, including many in Europe, many other areas as well, causing over 70 million deaths. Now, 70 million, that's hard to even fathom. That's hard to think about. Just for reference, that would be like ability. Because what happened after World War I, to punish Germany for its atrocities in that war, they were made to pay reparations to certain countries. And so this created an environment of economic hardship and political instability. And that actually set the stage for Hitler's rise as he took advantage of the people's discontent. Then we had the Great Depression, like the global economic crisis in the 30s. It actually destabilized Europe even more, making countries inward-focused, less likely to intervene in foreign affairs. And so they had their own problems, and they didn't want to get involved. And so then also there was fear. Now, this is interesting, because they feared communism. And because Nazi Germany, as horrible as it was actually in opposition to the evils of communism. And so people feared one evil over another evil, and they left Hitler alone. And then there was isolationism, especially here in the U.S. After World War I, there was this strong desire to kind of avoid becoming entangled in other countries' affairs. And so all these issues caused the world to let evil play on repeat until it was massive and too late. And 70 to 85 million people died. So enough with the history lesson, but let me ask you this question. Do any of these words look familiar? Okay, let me ask another question. Could it be true that sometimes we allow what seem to be little threats in our thought lives fester and infect and grow into giant issues in our lives? And if we understand that our thoughts dictate our future, as we've learned in previous messages, why is it that we don't deal with the soundtracks that play on repeat in our head that could easily get out of hand? Why is it? Why is it that we wait that they lead to death in our lives instead of taking them captive early on? For a lot of us, we recognize way too many of these words in our thought lives. And so today, we are actually going to talk about why we entertain consistent and stubborn negative thoughts and how to actually take them captive so that we can win the war in our mind. And so, by the way, this is the third message in our series that we have called Soundtracks, and it's all about how we can reprogram our thoughts, or in other words, our soundtracks that play over and over in our head. And we're asking this question, simple question, what's playing in your head? What's playing in my head? And this is the theme verse for this series, and it is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And based upon this scripture, we can actually come to this conclusion, and this is the big idea for the whole series, is that what you think about yourself, what I think about myself, that is who we will be. And so, in week one, we found out that Daniel, he was successful in the worst of situations because he set his mind. He set his thought. He made an intentional decision to pay attention to what he was thinking. And we found out that his first step in actually doing that was by going on a fast. And that's why today we are actually starting our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And if you're new and you're just jumping in on this, you can find out all the information, more information on our website or the Church Center app, or you can scan the QR code on the back of your seat, and it should be there. So we're going to be having morning prayer, and you'll find all that information on there. Last week, we came to this conclusion from the Word of God that if you don't like the pattern of your world, if you don't like parts of your life, if you don't maybe even like yourself, if you don't like the pattern of your world, then we have to actually change what we're repeating in our life, that we replace our old patterns, our old soundtracks with new ones, that we replace them with the soundtracks of the Word of God, because it is powerful, it's sharp, and it has the ability to actually shape our lives in a good way, in the way that we want, in the way that God wants, if we put it on repeat. Amen. So there is a war for our thoughts, and the reason is because our thoughts are going to determine our future. And so the next step in this journey is we're going to start out with a scripture from the Apostle Paul, because he understood the battle that we're in, and he really helps put some handles on this as he talks about the power of our thoughts. So in 2 Corinthians 10:3, he says this. He says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." Now, once again, he's given us this idea that we're not conformed to the world that we live in, or the way that they think, that we don't think the way that the world thinks, the people around us. And he paints this picture of waging war. And the reason is because he knows what we all know. And that is that our lives are full of battles. Is it just me, or is your life full of battles? Amen. Yeah, our lives are full of battles. And Paul knew this. And the reason we know he knew this is because in this letter that he wrote, we see he was struggling with how to control his thoughts. Because first he describes the battle that was going on the inside of him. He expresses this struggle that a lot of us can relate to. He talks about how often he found himself doing the very things that he didn't want to do and not doing the things that he knew were right. It was like there was this constant battle inside of him, that he realized that there was this constant war, a battle going on. And he describes the proverbial devil on one end, on one shoulder, and the angel on the other shoulder. And I'm so thankful to him that he didn't just leave us talking about his misery. He goes on and he gives us very clear and applicable tools to win that battle, because he makes it incredibly clear in Romans 7:22. He says, "For in my inner being, I delight in God's law." That's what God thinks about you. That's God's law. "But I see another law working at me." That would be that sinful nature, or the law of sin that he's going to call it in a minute. And he said that law is waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner of the law of sin working in me. So what Paul's doing is he's painting a picture of two laws. You can consider them, or three forces. There's God's law, the law of God. That's what God's word says about you. And then there is the law of sin. That is describing those temptations toward sin that we all experience, and they all start in our mind. Then he talks about the law of his mind. In other words, his soundtracks, what he's thinking. So Paul paints this very clear picture of two forces at war, sin and God, and then a force in the mental, in the middle, his mind, his thought life, his soundtrack. And he describes it as a waging war that's going on between his ears. Can I tell you a secret? So often spiritual warfare is simply what happens between your ears. Paul knew it, and he's trying to get them to see the power of their soundtracks, because Paul understood what we're discovering, and that is that most of the time, so often the spiritual battle, it's not out there somewhere. It's in our minds. Because remember, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. It's a different thing. He's painting a picture of warfare. And then he continues on and says, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons that the world uses. And when Paul talks about our weapons, he is talking about what he referred to in Ephesians 6, that our weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the words of God, the scriptures. And so he said, the word of God, our weapons that we fight with, that they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Demolish strongholds. This word strongholds right here, that's not a word that we use a whole lot in our everyday life. But it was a word that would be used to describe, once again, a prison. And he encourages us that, look, you don't have to be in prison, because the weapons that we fight with, they have divine power. In other words, our weapons, the word of God, the scriptures, they have supernatural power to destroy the prisons in our life. So you might say, well, okay, that's great and that's good and everything, but what does that have to do with my thoughts? Well, several things. One is that so many times the prisons that we live in is when the enemy gets thoughts in our minds that hold us prisoner to our past, prisoner to our circumstances, prisoner to our fears. Because a lot of us have soundtracks that hold us prisoner. I'm not good enough. God can't really love me. Look what I've done. Look what was done to me. I'll never change. I'll never overcome that. Best not to get my hopes up, because things never work out for me. So many of us can identify with these prisons. And I'm sure we can make a list of a whole bunch more prisons that we all put ourselves in. But the question is, how do we free ourselves from these prisons in our lives caused by the stubborn thoughts? I'm talking about the little thoughts that seem to be almost subconscious, involuntary thought reactions that are so used to running in the background that sometimes we even hardly notice them. The good news is that Paul continues to tell us about his struggles, about these same things, and as he does, he gives us some breadcrumbs as to how he overcame them, some really clear principles as to how he changed stubborn soundtracks. So Paul says that, yes, our weapons have divine power to demolish prisons, and then he goes on and says, we demolish arguments. Now, that word arguments is also translated thoughts, okay? So we demolish thoughts and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God or the word of God. Now, a pretension, that's just kind of like an unfounded assumption. So if somebody is pretentious, that just means that they're trying to seem more important or more knowledgeable than they really are, okay? So he says that life is a series of battles. We're in a war, and that we all know. And that our weapons have the supernatural power to destroy the prisons in our lives in that war. And then he tells us how the weapons work. Watch this. He says, our weapons, that they destroy thoughts and unfounded assumptions in our mind that is contrary to what God's word says. See, this is how the weapons work. And then I'm so grateful this next part. I'm so grateful for how clearly Paul is just going to lay it out for us. because the next sentence that he says is packed so full of good news. It's so exciting to those of us that have some prisons between our ears, maybe prisons in our hearts that need to be demolished and we don't know how. This next sentence is going to show us exactly how to wield the weapon, the word of God, that God has given us to demolish the prisons in our lives. Watch this. He says, "And we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ." We take it captive and make it obedient to the word of God, to Christ, to Jesus. So we're not just saying, "I'm not going to let that thought in. I just, you know, that doesn't sound like it came from God. So just stop thinking about it." It's like, you can't do that. It's like, stop thinking about purple elephants. You know, no, we have to take it captive. We have to grab it. We have to look at it for what it is and make it obedient to Christ. In other words, if you can identify your thoughts, then you take them captive and then you compare it with what the scriptures say. And if it's different, then you have to make that thought obey. You have to make it obey Jesus, who is the word of God. And this is extremely important because, and this is what I want you to go home with today. It's powerful because the truth is either you take your thoughts captive or our thoughts take us captive. Can I say that again? You either take them, don't underestimate them. You either take them captive or they take you captive. Either way, something or someone is being taken captive. There will be a prisoner. You either imprison your thoughts or they imprison you. And trust me, you want to imprison your thoughts. Take them captive and then question them. And if they're in line with what God says about them, let them go. Let them run free. That's awesome. But if not, you have to make them obey. You have to conform them to what the Bible says about you. I'm going to teach you how to do that. And this is why it's so important that you know what the scriptures say for yourself. Because if you don't, you'll let those lies and those negative thoughts, you'll let them run free. And when you let a negative thought run free, it will imprison you. And as your pastor, my prayer for all of us is that we do not underestimate the power of our thoughts. We have to capture them. We have to take them captive or they will take us captive. Paul says they will imprison us. We got to stand guard on our thoughts. In fact, Proverbs 4 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And guess what? This word heart, what it means in the original language. In the original language Hebrew, it means your mind, your will, and your emotions. He says, above all else, almost like he's begging us, like, please, this is the most important thing. Guard your heart, for everything you do comes from that. And I think it's significant that, once again, when talking about our thoughts and our mind, he uses another military term, guard. Like a soldier standing watch against an attack. A soldier standing high on a watchtower looking for the enemy to be able to sound an alarm. So how do we do this? How do we guard our hearts? How do we practically take our negative and even sinful thoughts? How do we take those captive? Well, I want to give you a couple of scenarios where we might have the opportunity to take our thoughts captive and how you do it. Perhaps maybe we get assignment at work or at school and we hate it. I can't believe I got to do this again. And complaining and negative thoughts might come into our head or tend to, and these are temptations for negativity. And we don't want to underestimate the power, right? No. We've got a chance to do about them early before they have a chance to imprison us. And I'm going to share with you a soundtrack that I started years ago, and I can't tell you the spiritual strength, even mental health that it has brought me. When something doesn't go my way, even when something that other people would consider unfortunate, bad, evil, this is my soundtrack. Everything works out for my good. See, when something goes wrong, something I don't like happens, this is the conditioned mental and spiritual response in my head. everything's going to work out for me. It's a knee-jerk reaction and thought. I have actually trained my brain to respond to negative circumstances like this. Everything will work out for my good. And let me tell you, this is powerful for two reasons. Number one is that I have repeated it in my life until it's actually created that natural thought reaction. Because remember, what repeats in your life creates in your life. All right? So the first 8 million times I had to intentionally tell myself this. I wasn't even sure if I believed it. But remember, what you repeat in your mind will create in your mind. And look, anybody can do this. You just keep saying it over and over and over until you wear the new path. And eventually it becomes an involuntary thought pattern, much like some of your negative thought patterns, okay? So that's the first reason that it's powerful. The second and the most important part about it is that this is what God thinks about me. Amen. It comes from his word.
That's right.
My weapon. Watch this, Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. That's me.
Amen.
And for those who are called according to his purpose. And he has a plan and a purpose for my life and yours, and I'm doing my best to pursue that. So everything works out for me.
Amen.
Or how about this opportunity? Guys, I'm gonna pick on us, okay? Ladies, you think of the equivalent on your end, all right? But husbands, your wife wants you to take out the trash at 10 at night in the pouring rain. Or something else that feels like she's not considering you at all. And again, our self-nature shows up with self-negative or negative and complaining thoughts, right? Now, it's important for you to know that this thing kind of thing never happens to your pastor. Of course, I'm joking. This happens to me, this happens to all of us, right? So, but this is the soundtrack that I have written. I took the word of God and I wrote this soundtrack. I will go out all out in my love for my wife, like Christ did for the church. I prefer her over myself. I wrote this soundtrack. And once again, the power is that it is based upon what God says about our relationship. My weapon, the Bible. Because Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So how did Jesus love the church? Well, in Mark 10, he says of himself, he says, for even the Son of Man, and that's him speaking of himself, that Jesus did not come to serve, but to serve. So this is my soundtrack. I will go all out in love for my wife, like Christ did for the church. I prefer her over myself. Now, to be honest, I'm still working on this one. It's not on autoplay yet. All right, I'm still working on it. Okay, sometimes it's more like, I will go all out in my love for my wife. All right, so I'm still working on this one. But the key is that it's based in the word of God. And that's the easy part, okay? You just Google scriptures on and you fill in the blank. Okay, the difficult part is intentionally playing your soundtrack over and over until it's on autopilot. Or in other words, muscle memory. You're cutting a new path,
amen,
right? Or maybe it's the thought that hits your mind when you're looking at that list of potential meetups where you feel like God is drawing you to attend one, if not to lead one. But then the enemy of the church, which is isolation, happens and you think, I don't have time for that. What if people don't like me? What if I show up and they don't like me? Or what if I lead it and I invite people and they don't come anyway? I mean, like, what do I have to teach people? Who am I? We can take those thoughts captive by remembering Hebrews 10:24 that says, let us consider one another. Consider other people and stir up love and good works with them, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. So when thoughts of isolation happen, you could repeat this soundtrack. I foster love and good works through mutual encouragement and regular fellowship. It came straight from that scripture. So these are just examples, right? And so you might be thinking, all right, my God, I understand you're trying to make this easy and something that I can do, but what if I don't know where to start? Like, I have so many negative thoughts that need to be taken captive. I would recommend starting the same way that you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. See, this is a journey to freedom. I'm still on my journey, right? It's not an overnight thing. And before you ask, no, it's not easy. But the alternative is much more painful for you. So it's painful for you, it's painful for your family, your loved one, if you don't deal with these thoughts, right? And I assure you, though, it'll be worthy of your effort. Change your life. Amen. So when hardship and instability try to control your mind, when thoughts of depression threaten you, when you're tempted to be inward focused or isolated, when fear and worry try to start its soundtrack in your head, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Take captive every single thought and make it obedient to Christ, because you are in a war. Whether you know it or not, it's a battle going on between your ears, between the law of God and the law of sin. And here's the thing, is if you repeat the word of God enough, they will submit. Your thoughts will submit, because your weapons are powerful to defeat the attacker of your thoughts. And just like a soldier, guard your mind, your will, and your emotions. We've got to take our thoughts captive. Because, look, either you take your thoughts captive or your thoughts take you captive. Either I take my thoughts captive or my thoughts will take me prisoner. So, I want to encourage all of us, each one of us today, you have the power to change those stubborn negative thoughts that you thought I'll never get rid of. Just like Paul, we all struggle with thoughts that don't line up with who we want to be. But remember, you are not alone in this battle, because you've got the weapon, God's word, and his spirit. And we can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. It is a process, yes. But let me tell you, it's one that leads to freedom and peace. So start small. Just tackle one negative thought at a time, and gradually you're going to see the transformation in your thought life. You have the divine power to demolish these mental strongholds. And you've got to believe in that power and step into the victory that awaits you. I mean, imagine, what could my life look like if I won the battle over my soundtracks? Waking up every day with a mind free of negative thinking. I mean, envision yourself responding to challenges with the word instead of your negativity, with positivity and hope rather than fear and doubt. I mean, think about the peace and joy that would flow into your relationships, your work, your school, your personal growth. And I'm telling you, this is not just a pipe dream. It's an actual reality that awaits you as you begin to align your thoughts with God's truth, where you're no longer a prisoner of your negative thinking, but you're a victor living in the fullness of God's plan for you. And if you combine this powerful knowledge with the idea of setting your thoughts through fasting these next 21 days, I can't tell you the outcome that is going to happen in your life. And think about the impact that we could make as a church if we all applied Paul's writings to our mental playlist, those reoccurring soundtracks of our lives. Imagine together we could actually create an environment here of not only belonging, but actually of faith and hope and love that extends far beyond these four walls. This year's gonna be crazy, guys. Could you imagine a church where we were free from the bondage of all that negative thinking, where we were encouraging each other and uplifting each other? Could you think about how it would impact the people that we bring here, that we could be that beacon of light in a world riddled with despair? So, during our 21 days, during our fast, as we each work on renewing our minds, let's do this. Let's support each other Let's do it ourselves, knowing that our individual transformations, it contributes to our collective transformation, and therefore our transformation into the world by the Spirit of God. We can do this. You can change those mental soundtracks. You can lead a new path. You can trailblaze a new path. The Word of God is powerful and effective to demolish your prisons. Will you stand with me?